We're going specifically to New York and BBC News chief presenter Katrina Perry. Katrina, it's only a few days since America was confident of a 21-day ceasefire in Lebanon. Things have unraveled pretty quickly since then.
They absolutely have, Rachel, and it's interesting that still through this we're hearing from the Biden administration, from the president himself and his national security team, that they're still calling for that ceasefire, that they still think there is a diplomatic solution available to them here, notwithstanding the fact that that is not what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is saying. And as we know, he said yesterday, and as did the IDF spokespeople, that they will retaliate for this attack at a time and place of their choosing. Now, what we're hearing from the White House is that they stand fully in support of Israel. They are unwavering in that message, but that they say they are negotiating with Israel as to what that retaliation might look like. But they were very clear to set out that the US military chiefs are in contact with their counterparts in Israel, that they are supporting them, that they did help defend the attack from Iran yesterday, that there were two US Navy destroyers that fired about a dozen or so interceptors that caught many of those missiles that came from within Iran. And they have said that that support will continue. But we're very much in a holding pattern here, notwithstanding the debate that happened last night and the presidential campaign, very much in a holding pattern as to see just what comes next. And that's the question that no one's been able to answer.
Let's talk then about last night's vice presidential debate between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz. How would you characterise it?
Friendly, which is not a word that I use
you
often.
You get to use very frequently. That's true. That's true.
It's not, you know, it's a word of kind of the golden era of political days gone by in this country, but not what we've seen in recent years when it's so polarized and so, you know, nasty at times, let's be honest. But this was quite friendly. They didn't agree on anything, but they did nod along when you have those, you know, because this is a television moment, right? When you have that split screen of one candidate speaking and the other is nodding along and even at times saying, oh, I agree with what the governor said, I agree with what the senator said. Most unusual, but it just shows you really how close this race is and how both campaigns are going after a small number of voters, many of them in the Midwestern states, like where Tim Walz and J.D. Vance are from. And so heading into this debate, for many Americans, it's about finding out who the vice presidential candidates are. They're not generally anywhere near as well known as the individuals on the top of the ticket, particularly this year when you're looking at Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. But in this case, of course, we've heard from the Republican nominee, J.D. Vance, quite a lot. He's had his fair share of what you might call viral moments, many of which I'm sure he wished he hadn't had. And we don't know quite so much, or at least, you know, the general American voter doesn't know quite so much about the Democratic pick, the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. So their main goal last night was to set out who they are to the American people. J.D. Vance probably did that a little bit better than Tim Walz did. And their second goal, the key mantra always is do no harm to the person at the top of the ticket. And neither of them did any harm to their running mates.
Given that he has been a pretty assured performer until now, is there likely to be some disappointment among Democrats that Tim Walz didn't have a better night?
They certainly weren't voicing that in the spin room afterwards. As you can imagine, everyone said their guy was the best guy, but he was slower out of the blocks than J.D. Vance was. Particularly the first question was about Israel and the Middle East, and he seemed very nervous. He seemed a little unsure of his answer. Particularly, you would imagine that that is a question that they would well have predicted would have come up. They don't get the questions in advance, but you could, if you were gaming it out, you could have safely said there would have been a question on the Middle East. J.D. Vance, as you say, a lot more assured, and he spent most of his first answer not answering the question, but sort of said, let me tell the American people who I am, and gave a brief sort of rundown of his CV and his background, which was quite a clever thing to do when you think tens of millions of people watch these things, but not that many watch it right through to the end. If anyone's watching, they're likely to be watching it right at the beginning. And so he managed to land a very good answer right at the top.
We all remember Lloyd Benson's put down of Dan Quayle. I mean, if the internet had been around in 1988, it would have been a viral moment. But We also remember that George Bush Sr. won that election. So how important are vice presidential debates?
I mean, generally not very, but you can't say that about anything these days in American politics. We just have to look back to the Biden-Trump debate, which will go down as the most consequential presidential debate of all time, I think, so far anyway. But, you know, generally people don't make up their mind based on debates, but they also don't make up their mind based on the vice presidential candidates. But what these debates can do is not necessarily shift voters, but they can change the momentum and they can change the direction. I don't think last night's debate will have really done that. You know, it will have kind of tried to maybe improve the public profile of J.D. Vance a little bit, because he has had, you know, all those moments that we've mentioned, the childless cat ladies and so on. But I think what it did for J.D. Vance was actually set him up as an individual out of Donald Trump's shadow, that he possibly has one eye on what comes next after this election, win or lose. He's only just turned 40 in August. So he, you know, we know he's an ambitious and driven guy. So I think he was definitely had a secondary goal, which was one about him and how the American people view him personally. How that will go down with Donald Trump, we'll have to see, because as we know, he doesn't like to share the limelight too much.